Hey everyone, I'm Misha Youssef, and this is Tell Them I Am. I'm sure this was the case for you in eighth grade too, but in my eighth grade, there was a recipe to being popular. A neon bra, a see-through tank top, Frankie B low-rise jeans, Kiss FM, and Uggs. Oh, and you had to be really loud when you said hi. Like, hi! You should also be skinny, blonde, and named Caroline. But me, I had buck teeth, and I was still trying to perfect my American accent. And I was like, I can't be blonde, and I can't be named Caroline. But then I found a loophole. This group of popular girls who were not blonde, who were not named Caroline, and they were more like me, Asian girls, who had somehow made it. The thing is that they just dressed right. They knew the recipe and they followed it. They were my hope. So I got the neon bra, I got the Ugg boots, and I got the Frankie B's. I didn't want to be popular because I actually wanted to be a Caroline. I just wanted to be liked. That's all. I knew if people didn't notice me, they wouldn't know me. Or want to know me. And if they didn't know me, they couldn't possibly like me. By 10th grade, my uniform starts to pay off. I'm not popular, but people at least know my name. What I now know is that I was trying to claw back control. When I moved to the US and started middle school, I was one thing and one thing only. Brown. Which at that time meant loser. And I didn't come to America to be only brown. I didn't come to America to be only anything. And the funny thing about this whole situation is that for me and the other Asian girls, to not just be this one thing, we all had to be this one thing. But Layla Shakely, she has never been just one thing, no matter what the rules were.
I'm Layla Shakely. And I don't know if what I'm best known for is what I do for a living. Nobody actually knows what I do. I might be known for the Mipsters video that I co-produced that went viral, or for just, you know, being on Instagram and really liking clothes. But what I actually do is I co-founded a software company. I grew up as a wild child in Southern California to my Iraqi parents.
They live in San Antonio Heights, which I'm willing to bet you aren't familiar with.
It's really just a mountain town on the foothills of the Angeles National Forest, about maybe 40 minutes east of downtown LA, with perfect weather. And we grew up in a house full of avocado trees and orange trees and lemon trees and ample space for kids to build go-karts. So it's a nice, beautiful town. I have this vivid memory of when I was 4 years old and I was eating watermelons with my dad. And he said, Layla, don't swallow the seeds. If you swallow the seeds, you're gonna grow a watermelon in your stomach. The reason he probably was saying that to a four-year-old, now that I'm a mother, I realize is because he didn't want me to choke, right? So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, Baba, you got it. And I ran outside and ate dirt and stared at the sun. I was more excited by the idea of watermelons growing, you know, through my throat and out of my mouth than afraid. I have pictures of myself at 2 years old sitting on a skateboard and 3 years old.
Skateboarding has been the essential form of street skating.
My brothers were 80s kids, so everybody had a skateboard, and I was one of six, so I had whatever they had. I would say through elementary school, middle school, and even half of high school, skateboarding was a really integral part of my identity.
And in the 90s, if you skated, you needed a crew. So Layla has hers.
Humna and Arzu.
Layla and Humna have been friends since they were like 4 years old. And Arzu joins not long after.
We were just really wild and funny and dirty and fearless and careless.
All right, so they have this tight crew of three girls. All of them go to this really tiny Islamic school that was run by Layla's mom. And when the three of them weren't in school, they were skating.
The skate park was full of boys, lots and lots of boys, who were really trying to outboy each other and show off. All the girls were typically on the benches cheering the boys on and probably trying to get a little bit of attention. So they definitely weren't three little hijabi girls in oversized pants and lopsided hijabs. So there was a stark juxtaposition already in terms of how we represented ourselves as skaters and how everybody else had represented themselves. But because we grew up in honestly such a bubble where we weren't exposed to anything outside the walls of our school. So as a result, we all had a very strong sense of identity. We really didn't have much to compare ourselves to outside of each other. Chad Muska was my idol.
My keyboard and my skateboard, my two main articles in life.
He had this slogan that I thought was so cool, and it was, skateboarding is not a crime.
Always has been a crime. In that discipline.
I'm not going to hurt nobody with my longboard, you know? It's just a part of my life that I really want.
I've gotten three tickets in the past 2 years. Neither one of the tickets have said anything about skateboarding. All three tickets have said playing in the street, which to me is...
Why were you drawn to that?
I don't know. Like, what did I ever do that was criminal to compare it to? And I bought the T-shirt, and we wrote it everywhere, and we put stickers near it. And so I just remember, like, imagine these three little hijabi girls writing skateboarding is not a crime everywhere in their oversized jeans and their massive skateboards. As I grew older and became more conscious of life outside of skateboarding and I guess developed a little bit, I became really pigeonholed in this skater girl identity. So I needed to break out of the identity and one day thought, okay, I have this big wedding coming up. How am I gonna do this? And then I distinctly remember the moment when I was 16 where I put on a dress for the first time in a decade. And there was like this really cool dress. I think I got it from Hot Topic. This is so embarrassing. And it was black and it had like glitter on it. And I had a purse that was glow in the dark with alien faces. And it was such a look, I thought. Nobody knew I had this like mental change of heart and wanted to break outside of my skater girl identity to be something else. I remember arriving at the wedding, jaws dropped. Imagine this girl who's so loud and has chosen to dress like a skater and suddenly walks in a glittery dress. I'm like, why? Why glitter? In hindsight, I would have told 16-year-old Layla, like, transition, girl, slow your roll. You don't gotta show up in glitter. But it's really cute. It's a great memory, and I have really funny pictures that day. I'm like hunched over and embarrassed in all of them. Like dead embarrassed, the worst.
Wait, so why did you wear it then?
Because it's who I wanted to be as of that moment moving forward.
And what triggered that?
So I dressed like a skater because it was the only way to represent an identity that was solely outside of, you know, quote unquote, Muslim woman, anonymous Muslim woman who could be perceived as a terrorist or violent or oppressed. So I chose to dress like a skater because that's what I loved most, and my clothes was what could make me look like that outside of my hijab. As I got older and skateboarded less, I realized that my hijab can be part of a medium that communicates an even broader image and a broader narrative. And at this point, I liked all things creativity related. I think I scrapbooked, so embarrassing. I was the president of the yearbook club, also very embarrassing. And, you know, we made plays at school and I started picking up drawing and painting. So I wanted to use the way that I dressed to represent a different identity. And this was more of an identity of somebody who was curious and artistic. I would say a lot of my life as a Muslim woman in hijab has focused on fashion as the outward symbol of who I actually am. These depictions of Muslim women who wore hijab in the media depicted women who were helpless or forced or, I mean, oppressed is the most standard. It's the first word that comes to mind, frankly. I was none of those things. And so fashion to me seemed like the first line of defense to represent myself in a way that was more accurate. If I didn't dress like a skater and my identity was so driven by my skateboard, nobody would know I was that. And that mattered to me. Now that I think about it, growing up as a Muslim woman, in the time that I wore hijab, I put it on in the mid-90s. It wasn't very common to see a young woman wearing hijab in the United States. So I think that when I wanted to do something that was different, whether it was dressed like a skater or put on a glittery dress, I wasn't, even if it was mortifying, I was brave enough to just do it because going to the supermarket in hijab, I already knew I looked different. I wasn't afraid of looking different. If you choose to be invisible or choose not to direct somebody's creativity and how they want to perceive you, they will fill in the blanks. So I've taken a very aggressive role in directing how I want people to perceive me based on the way that I dress. And I've done this since I was a child.
You can learn more about Layla Shakely on her Instagram, at Layluel with two O's. Thank you so much for listening to Tell Them I Am. I am Misha Youssef. This episode of Tell Them I Am was sound designed by Mary Knopf and written by Mary Knopf, Arwen Nix, and me. Mary is my producer, and don't tell James Kim anything. Arwen Nix is our editor. Valentina Rivera and Sean Corey Campbell are our engineers. Our beautiful music is by David Leinard. You can find incredible illustrations of all of our guests as the episodes release. Thanks to Emin Ahmed for those. You should really see them. Follow me or Emin on Instagram. Find me at Misha Youssef. Our beautiful series tile art is by Elizabeth Goodspeed. This podcast was originally a production of LAS Studios, now presented by Higher Ground Audio and Spotify. We'll be back next week with our final two stories.